The Business Buzz Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1 for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAW FM. That's the voice of Wits 88.1. We are broadcasting live from our studios right here in Bramfontein, Johannesburg. And my name is Bundiwa Mob, Justice Kavaza. I will be your host until about 7 p.m. Who's to say that business can't be entertaining? Make sure you hold on to your seats as we unpack the world of business and as we keep you educated and intrigued. On today's show, we're looking at something that's, you know, slightly different. We're going to be looking at funding your business, and specifically we're looking at crowdfunding. For those who don't particularly know, crowdfunding just has to do with finding a number of people to contribute a small amount that then makes up a big amount that you're looking for. So for example, if you're looking for 750,000 rand and you get 750 people to give you 1,000 rand each, then you've reached your goal. So that's what we're going to be looking at. And I was actually reading an interesting article earlier today, and it seems that people are crowdfunding all types of things in their lives in 2018. In Cape Town, I heard of three different sets of couples that are currently crowdfunding for their weddings. And apparently, crowdfunding your funeral is also now a thing as well. And holidays, you know, that's also happening. And I actually had a friend the other day who actually got her phone stolen and actually started a GoFundMe page to actually replace this phone. So there's a lot of different applications. So it's going to be quite an interesting show. We're going to be talking to Catherine Duploy, who is from Back Up Buddy. She is the chief operating officer, around how they implementing crowdfunding, because they run a platform where you can crowdfund for a good cause. And then on the other side of that, we're going to be talking to Rob Haynes, who is from League of Beers. He is the founder and is going to be telling us about how they crowdfunded for their Songbird Gin brand. So that's how the show is looking. Make sure you keep in touch with us on social media. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Vits on Facebook. Otherwise, you can find us on Vits Radio Academy. We have our own Facebook page there. On Twitter, our hashtag is hashtag businessbuzz, and our handle is at VAWFM. 0840784912, that's our WhatsApp line. And you can also stream the station live, that's on vowfm.co.za. Podcasts of the Business Buzz show will be available on journalism.co.za/business. So that's how our show is looking like for today. Make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 7 p.m. So definitely make sure you don't turn that dial. On the other side of this, we get into our business wrap. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's the part of the show where we give you a list of the top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert. We have Ken Swettenham. How are you, Ken?
Good evening. I'm very well. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. In terms of the week, how's the business in South Africa looking? How are our markets? How is that rand?
Well, the rand has strengthened today very substantially. I'm just looking at the figures now while I speak to you. And we've currently got the rand trading right up at 13.27 against the US dollar. That's a strengthening of almost 2% on the day. That's very good news for our currency, considering as recently as a week to 10 days ago, it was really nudging closer to the 14 to the dollar mark. So to be right back at 13.27 is good news indeed. The rand against the British pound is currently trading at 17.58. That was well over 18 a week ago. And for those who are interested, it's at 15.53 to the euro and under 10 to the Australian dollar, which interests a lot of people, 9.85 to the Australian dollar at the moment. So we've certainly seen some strength in the rand, which again appears to be dollar weakness against emerging currencies rather than strength. It's often a dollar story and not a rand story when we see these movements. Sure.
And what else has been going on actually in terms of the local market? Because as you said, when it comes to the rand, a lot of it is international, as to do with the dollar itself. But otherwise, on the local front, how is the JSE looking and how is the market?
Well, we've had a down day again today. And I have to say again, because we had quite a serious pullback yesterday as well. The all share index is down just on 0.2%, and closed at 56,849 for those who are interested in the indexes. And it's been red across the board, really. The financials are down about 0.3%, industrial index down just under 0.5%, and the resources, probably on the back of a strengthening rand, took quite a knock today, down 1.5%. And that's despite the fact that gold and palladium and platinum, the stuff we dig out of the ground here in South Africa, all up in price. But what has come down very substantially today, and it's just disappeared off my screen, but I'll try and remember it, is the oil price, currently trading at around, here we are, it's back on, $74.10. That's down around 6% on the day, which hopefully is good news for our fuel price going forward. And I understand that is as a result of Libya actually opening some new oil fields which have been defunct for a while, which will push more oil into the market. And anybody who has a basic understanding of economics will know if there's more supply, it tends to bring prices down on any commodity, not only oil. So oil has slipped in price fairly substantially on the views that there might be a more supply of oil in the market.
So how long would that actually then take to actually affect our pockets? I think all of us as motorists are suffering with this new 16 rand for the price of fuel at the moment. When are we actually going to feel some of these more positive effects?
Well, let me not disappoint you. It may not come through to the oil price. But what we're talking about today, I mean, it's a very good news that oil has come down in price and we've got a strengthening rand. I mean, they're the two things we need to bring our fuel price down a little bit, but we need it to be consistent. It's no good if it happens on one day. If it all weakens again tomorrow, then the strength we've had today is not going to help us at all. The oil price, as you know, is adjusted on a month-by-month basis, and it's adjusted on what happens during the course of a month. So if this trend does continue for the balance of July, we may, and certainly don't quote me on this, but we may see a small adjustment downwards in the fuel price in August. But it's still too early to say on whether that will happen or not. And as you say, it's not only us as motorists who own motor vehicles, but it's everybody else who, as we've discussed before, who uses public transport, taxis, and taxi users, bus users, any vehicle that uses diesel or petrol. Those increases in costs are passed on to the consumer, unfortunately.
So as you heard from Ken Swettenham, the price of fuel might come down, but then he's saying that we don't want to promise anything because some of these effects might not come through. That's it in terms of our business wrap. As you heard as well, our markets are currently down today, but the rand has strengthened quite a bit. As you heard, we are up 2% from last week because the rand is currently trading at 13 rand 27 cents to the US dollar and 13.58 to the British pound. But a lot of it is happening because of the international market, not necessarily what's going on in South Africa. So that's it in terms of our business wrap. On the other side of this, we tell you the state of your 100 rand as we give you our Buffalo Index. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
We just came from giving you our business wrap. Right now it's time for us to tell you the state of your 100 rand and our Buffalo Index. And in studio, I'm joined by my producer, Hlengiwe Zondo, who's going to be telling us a little bit about how your Buffalo is looking this particular week. How are you, Hlengiwe?
I'm good, Madiwa. How are you?
No, I'm doing all right. How is my 100 rand this week?
Your 100 rand is looking good. I mean, yes, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So we are going to be taking a few good causes from a crowdfunding platform called Thunder Fund, which is spelled T-H-U-N-D-A Fund. And for our listeners, so basically who are looking for causes to support, in return, they get a few varying rewards, and we're going to be touching on those rewards.
Yeah.
So we have three causes that we're going to touch on. The first one is The Kind Butcher. And basically, they are starting the first herbivorous butchery, which really means that they're going to be producing plant-based meat products. And they're looking at 3,500 buffaloes, which is 350,000 rands. And so if our listener contributes 150 rand or 1.5 buffaloes, they get to be invited to an exclusive opening event, and they receive a voucher for 75 rand.
Yeah.
If they contribute 25 buffaloes, they get invited to the event and they get discounts to the value of 100 rand per month on their products.
Oh, wow.
And then if someone has much deeper pockets and they're able to contribute 150 buffaloes, once off, they get invited to the exclusive events. They get access to an exclusive dinner that's specifically for people that have contributed within this bracket. And then they also get like monthly discounts to the value of 650 rand per month on their products.
Mm.
So that is the Kind Butcher. And then we move on to a soccer team, which is a young soccer team from Cape Town. It's called Grassroots, and they are fundraising for a trip to Germany. And so basically this football club looks at developing the skill sets of underprivileged youth within the Cape Town region, and they're looking to develop themselves further through exposure to football teams within Germany, and they really just are looking for 70,000 rands in order for them to take their team to Germany. So, yeah, for them, they have, like, for 10 buffaloes, you get, social media platforms, you get a team photo, an album, and a video. And if you donate 10,000 rands, you get the pictures, the album, a video of each player, basically, touching on how the journey has influenced them. The donator also gets, or the sponsor gets, a special full kit tour, a full kit from the players, and they also get their logo on the team's uniform. So that is the soccer team looking to go to Germany, and they are called the Grass Boots. And then last but not least, we have Tumamina, that's looking for 750,000 rands. So that's 7,500 buffaloes. And they are engaging with students on menstrual health, and they have a campaign around that. And they're looking to raise funds to purchase Mina menstrual cups for university girls. And if anyone is able to donate there, or pledge 500 rands or more, they receive a shout out on all their social media platforms, and they also get a Mina menstrual cup. So those are our three good causes that we're touching on today in the Buffalo Index.
I like the fact that almost all of them have this common theme where basically you're getting rewards.
Yes.
I don't know how else to put it. You're getting rewards for actually being part of this thing. They actually have a structure. Mm-hmm. Donate this much, you get,
Absolutely. There's an incentive. So you give, we ought to give out of the goodness of our hearts without expecting anything in return, but an incentive is always a bonus.
Mm.
A nice bonus. So, and some of them have come with really creative rewards and incentives for their sponsors.
Which one would you do? I'm keen on I think the Grassroots, they were the most comprehensive.
You're passionate about the football considering the current World Cup.
But I think I'm curious the most about the herbivorous butchery.
Yes, because that's the plant-based. So yes. For me, I would be, I'm all for women issues and around things like menstruation, which are things that, women can't control. And so definitely with regards to the underprivileged and the servicing of that segment of the marginalized community, I'm all for the lost one.
Mm.
Yes.
So that's it in terms of our Buffalo Index. A lot of different crowdfunding opportunities that are available out there in the market for your buffaloes. As you heard, I think the lowest we heard there was 150 rand, and you can actually be contributing towards something big. So on the other side of this, we're going to be talking to Catherine Duploy, who is from Backup Buddy, and they are talking about how to use your money to actually crowdfund for causes, right, that are important either to society and they actually make sure that what you're doing is good and proper. So we're going to be talking to them as we talk about our crowdfunding. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We are talking crowdfunding today on The Business Buzz. Remember that you can keep in touch with us, get in touch with us, continue the conversation. Tell us if you've ever crowdfunded for whatever cause you are particularly engaged in. As you heard earlier on, people are crowdfunding for funerals, weddings, lost phones, and the like, holidays even. So the crowdfunding market is actually quite large. On Facebook, you can find us. That's Vow FM, Voice of Wits. 88.1 FM, and then you can find our Wits Radio Academy Facebook page, and then on Twitter we're at VowFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. So as we get into the topic, as we get deep into the topic, on the line we are joined by Catherine Duploy, who is the Chief Operations Officer for Back a Buddy, who are in the business of funding for cause. Their motto is actually where cause meets crowd, and so far they've actually been able to raise more than 69.9 million rand for the various charitable causes through their platform. So on the line, as I said, we have Catherine. How are you, Catherine?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. So we actually were talking about the fact that you've actually been able to raise about more than 69 million rand using your platform over the years, and that your motto is where cause meets crowd. So as we begin our conversation, we just want to know, how does Back a Buddy actually work? And do you guys actually make money from the campaigns that are run on your platform?
Well, first of all, I'm quite excited to say we're almost at the 70 million mark. So I'm really hoping that even today or early tomorrow morning, we're going to roll over onto the 70 million for thousands of different campaigns and causes. We are a registered non-profit organization. So our main objective through the site is not to generate, you know, massive amounts of money, but we do need to sustain ourselves as an organization. So how we do that, our business model is essentially that we take a 5% administrative fee on all the funds that are raised through the platform.
Yep.
So that then comes to us as Back a Buddy to sustain our tech developers and the team that we have behind all of the various campaigns.
So how receptive would you say South Africans have been so far just to the issue of crowdfunding as a whole, perhaps in comparison to other countries and regions? Mm-hmm. Because we know, like in the States, GoFundMe, for example, has actually mm-hmm. been very popular. But you guys have taken mm-hmm. a bit of a different twist on the idea. Plus, you're mm-hmm. dealing with the South African market. How mm-hmm. receptive are our South Africans?
It's often a discussion that we have amongst the team, because we're always looking for various ways to sort of tell stories in a better way. South Africans are extremely generous nation, and the whole concept behind crowdfunding is the fact that you don't really have to rely on a high net worth individual to make a difference, but everybody collectively as a crowd can make a small contribution and collectively make a big impact. So there's sort of like a bit of a science to crowdfunding. So if you've got a crowdfunding page, it's extremely important to articulate your cause in a fashion that appeals to the donor market.
Yeah.
So for example, donors really like to know exactly what their money will be used for. They don't really respond very well to general asks. So, for example, if somebody says, well, you know, I'm really in need of 20,000 rand to help my family, it's too general. It's too vague, and we find that donors do not respond to that kind of a campaign. But when the campaign creators are very specific about the needs, so if they say something like, you know, my child has diabetes and we don't have a medical aid and we need to send our child for a specific test that needs to be done, and the test is going to cost 10,000 rand. Then the donor understands exactly what their money is going to be used for, so they tend to be more responsive and they tend to be, you know, they tend to make more contributions. We've also found the use of video, as I'm sure you are aware. Video just seems to reach the donors in a better way than just an image. So campaigns that use video tend to do a lot better. And I'm not even talking about a professional video. I'm talking about, you know, taking out your cell phone and talking to it, because people give to people. So if you can find a way to make your campaign appeal to another person and really speak from the heart, we see those elements coming through nicely in terms of donors responding. I mean, there is the whole debate around donor fatigue and 150,000 charities that all are asking for the same thing.
Yeah.
There's always going to be a lot of people that need. So it's going to come down to how you ask and what you need the money for.
So sort of on the same, in the same sort of stream of thought, how do you guys then tackle the security concerns? Because you are trying to appeal to these people, you're making the videos, you're reaching out to the people, you've got your team of people that are hyping your campaign and all of that stuff. But if someone is saying, how safe is my money, or assurances are there that my money is actually going to get to the person who's asking for the money, that it's not going to be intercepted along the way, all of that stuff. What measures do you guys have in place for all that?
So that's an interesting question, because that is certainly where we've had to differentiate ourselves from other crowdfunding platforms, specifically within a South African context. Because even though South Africans are very generous, they also tend to be a little bit skeptical and a little bit, you know, can I trust this or can I not trust this?
Yeah.
And so we've had to really come up with measures to increase the trustworthiness of our platform. And the way that we've done that is, first of all, the vetting process. So when you set up a campaign, it's not going to go up immediately. We are going to ask you for a copy of your ID book. We're going to ask you for at least 2 references of people that can verify that your cause is real. So if you say you're sick, we need a letter from your doctor. If you say you're studying and you need fees, we need to speak to somebody at the university to verify that this is in fact the case. So before your campaign goes up, there is a vetting process involved. So that's the one way to reassure donors. And then the other way is, we try and encourage the campaign creators to let us manage the money. So it's not a prerequisite, it's not forced. But we say to the student who's trying to crowdfund, guys, let us pay the university directly, okay? So we can put in your text on your campaign page, Backer Buddy will pay the institution directly, because the donors like that. The donors respond well to that. So the campaign creator doesn't have to say yes. They can say, no, I'd rather manage it myself. And that's fine. We'll set up a campaign, but you may not get as many donations as you would have if you had allowed Backer Buddy to manage the funds for you. So that's how we've sort of increased our trustworthiness amongst the South African population, and also assuring the donors that, to the best of our ability, the funds are going towards their intended purposes.
So in terms of that as well, because you've already given us what criteria you sort of use to verify legitimacy, but earlier on you spoke about how there's this idea of donor fatigue and the fact that there's probably thousands of charitable causes and nonprofits out there. What is a worthy cause? How do you then, because legitimacy is one thing to say that this thing is real, yes, this person is actually trying to get X amount of money to do X thing, but what is a worthy cause? Because someone might be sitting, someone is probably sitting and saying to themselves, Catherine, there's something I want to do, but is Backer Buddy really the platform for me? Are you going to think that I'm worthy?
A worthy cause is sort of like a question of what is beautiful. It's in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
So what I, you know, my heart beats for causes around children because I'm a mother.
Yeah.
But my very good friend, Lisa, her heart beats for animals. Another person I know is passionate about environment. Another person I know is passionate about entrepreneurs and empowering entrepreneurs. So a worthy cause is I think there are many different worthy causes.
Yeah.
it's going to depend on the donors and whether they think your cause speaks to their heart and how well you communicate it. So it's not for us as Backer Buddy to decide if the cause is worthy or not.
Yeah.
We will set up that campaign for you, and we will allow you to run a campaign as long as you meet our vetting criteria.
Yeah.
But whatever your cause is, that's up to you, and that's up to your target markers of donors to decide whether they want to give it to us. We sort of are more of the platform, or we allow you to ask for funds or fundraise in a creative way that donors respond well to.
I think that leads very well to our last question, because I think something that our listeners might also be interested to just know is, in terms of the activity you've seen on your platform, as you said, you guys are close to that 70 million rand mark now. What sort of campaigns have been garnering the most attention over the years or currently, and the ones that are actually getting the most funding at the moment?
So, you know, at the top of my head, we are always going to have those disasters that are going to generate a lot of attention and a lot of funds. We know this.
Yeah.
I'm talking Nizhny fires. I'm talking about Mhlengi, the unfortunate incident with a triathlete who had his leg almost sawed off a couple of months ago. You know, these are extremely emotive, shocking causes that people respond to immediately. They go and they give, and there's a large amount of money raised.
Yeah.
But that's not our bread and butter. We rely on continuous campaign submissions with amounts like 10,000 raised, 20,000 raised. And we see the medical campaigns,
yeah,
for people who are ill. Those tend to do quite well. I think people feel a lot of compassion for other human beings who are suffering.
Yeah.
So those kinds of campaigns do well. We also see campaigns do very well when somebody champions them. And by championing, I mean that it's another individual who stands up for someone.
Yeah.
So for example, even in an education case, if there's an 18-year-old youngster who can't afford to go to university and has applied for funding and unfortunately wasn't accepted, and they know their father or an uncle or somebody who knows them that's a little bit older, they set up the page and they say, guys, I'm doing this on behalf of my nephew, on behalf of my son. I can speak for him. He's amazing. That tends to do a lot better than if you set up a campaign yourself. Because when you speak about yourself, it doesn't sound as authentic as when somebody else speaks on your behalf. So those kinds of campaigns generally do quite well.
So that was it. We were talking to Catherine Duploy, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Backer Buddy, just telling us what the crowdfunding landscape is looking like in South Africa. I think some takeaways, big ones for me, were if you campaign on behalf of someone or on behalf of a particular cause, that campaign is likely to take on more attention and more money. And then the other interesting one is that in terms of trends, things that have to do with medical procedures or medical related campaigns are the ones that are garnering the most attention. But on the other side of this, we're going to be talking to an interesting entrepreneur who was able to crowdfund his business, and his business is around the business of gin, and he was able to crowdfund a gin, and you know, that was it. It was a very interesting one. So make sure you tune in on the other side of this. You're going to be hearing his story around how he was able to make sense of all that. So yes, keep locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz. Business
Buzz. Welcome back. This is The Business Buzz right here on VAW FM 88.1. We're talking crowdfunding, and we just came from giving you a background of what crowdfunding actually is. We were talking to Catherine, who is from BackerBuddy, just around the issues of crowdfunding, what it is, how does it work, and how their particular platform is attacking this issue to actually do good for the world. But on the line, we actually wanted to talk to someone who's actually used crowdfunding to take their business to that next level. And on the line, we are joined by Rob Haynes, who is the founder of League of Beers and Steel Cut Spirits. Last year, he and Sugarbird Gin crowdfunded over R1 million in just around a month and a half. I think it was around 45 days, if I'm correct, and they had contributions from around 150 or so backers. And it's a local example of how you can actually crowdfund for a substantial amount of money and take your business to that next level. So, Rob, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. For our listeners out there, please could you just take us through a little bit of what your journey was like in terms of crowdfunding Sugarbird Gin more than a year ago?
Okay, so sorry, the story, the process we went through.
Yeah.
So I'll give a quick little summary. The thought process that got us to crowdfunding was we were planning, so Steel Cut Spirits that you mentioned, it's a drinks business, and we wanted to launch, let's call it our first product. We'd had a smaller product before, but we wanted to launch a gin, and in kind of assessing broadly fast-moving consumer goods, like products you buy from retailers, of which alcohol products and drinks are part of that, you notice that there's three ongoing challenges that you're always going to have. And one of them is access to working capital to pay for product. The other is ability to scale and barriers to scale. And the other is, broadly speaking, your route to market or route to consumer. So how you stand out from the competition, how you are accessible to the consumer, that type of thing. So, and I looked at all three of those things and realized that we had to overcome those challenges because we were starting bootstrapping from scratch. We didn't have funding yet at that point. As I was thinking through how do we address these problems, the idea of crowdfunding came across us, and we realized that crowdfunding, the structure of crowdfunding, it enables you to address all three of those things in one go. Just to explain that. The type of crowdfunding we did was rewards-based crowdfunding. Now, you've just spoken to Catherine from BackerBuddy, and that's charity-based crowdfunding.
Yeah.
So it's more about putting money into a cause. You also get equity-based crowdfunding that Uprise Africa does in South Africa, where you can buy a stake in something. Whereas the reward-based crowdfunding that we did with Thunderfund, you pre-sell product, basically. And what's great about that is that you can sell a lot of products before you've ever made anything. So there's a market validation, a market test to see if people actually want your product. But before you make one product, you sell a lot. And what that does is enables you to consolidate your batches, so you can make larger batches. Therefore, you start with start at scale from day one. It also helps with your working capital because you actually get paid before you produce. Whereas when you produce products like what we do, you normally get paid maybe 90 days after you produce it. Solution is that if you spend, that's a big difference. And the other thing is that people, by doing a campaign like that, especially for a gin, we thought, well, that would have really launched the gin significantly or the alcohol significantly in South Africa. So it was potentially a way for us to stand out because craft gin, which is becoming very popular, and is a growing market, there's also a lot of competition. So we needed to find a way to stand out. And that was, let's put our effort into a crowdfunding campaign because if it really works, our product will really stand out. And we were proven right because having pushed through to break the South African record, there was a lot of positive spin that we got off of that. So it helped to do that third thing, which is that route to market or consumer. And that enabled us to get a lot of initial retail listings, which some of the other gyms might not have got, and a lot of initial interest in our products. So that's almost to answer your question, the reasoning as to why we went about it. From a real story point of view, it was we were trying badly to get this gin off the ground, right? This was something I badly wanted to do because I believe that South Africa makes great gin. South Africans are making great gin. And coming from a craft beer background, what was even more interesting about craft gin is that when you use Fynbos, it's a naturally occurring plant type, an indigenous plant species from South Africa, so which imparts great flavors into gins. and then you're able to take a product that is proudly South African from the ingredients that you make, and you take that to the rest of the world and export it. So that was always the logic behind getting into gin. But if you take that back, dial it back to reality, how do we, you can't even get started because we had no capital.
Very quickly though, some people might be listening to this story and then ask themselves, why didn't you get like a bank loan or some other type of funding source? You know, the traditional things that people do to fund their businesses.
Well,
why
you
not
can't
go
get
that
the traditional things? That's basically it. So, like, if you think about, if you're a dude or a small team of people with an idea, you're going to struggle generally to get any kind of equity or debt financing. It's just really difficult. Like, there's very few means to actually access that type of capital. And let me rephrase it. There are lots of sources of capital, lots of sources of equity, lots of sources of funding, lots of sources of debt. But for a startup with an idea to actually get access to that is very, very difficult. Whereas with crowdfunding, you actually have a direct route to your consumer, and you potentially have a better means of accessing that. Not that it's easy, but it gives you a better shot at it. Because banks basically, until you've been trading, most banks won't give you a loan. And a lot of investors won't even invest money in you because it's far too risky. So that's why we didn't go down that route. So then it occurred to us, well, maybe the way we can actually try and get this dream off the ground. And it's, to be honest, I'd faced a lot of rejection from funders and then was quite sad about that. It's quite a depressing thing.
Yeah.
And was at that point of thinking of giving up. And then I was actually had to go in for an operation. I'd been reading various different business books and books about crowdfunding, and suddenly this thought dawned in my head, almost as I was about to go under the needle, and I quickly wrote down a note, what if we crowdfunded the gin in South Africa? And then I went under the needle, woke up, and then woke up with this massive inspiration to try and work out, how are we going to crowdfund the gin? And I try to work out how to answer that question.
How was that initial, because you've written the note, you go under the knife, you come out, and then you now start this campaign. How was that initial reaction? Because you guys were able to get to your target in 45 days, which is a very short space of time in as far as crowdfunding is concerned. But was it literally from the moment you put up the campaign, people were receptive, or was the first week or two a bit dicey?
It was a mixture.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of planning in a very short space of time. So I think I had the operation probably in July, August. We went live with our campaign in about September. So we planned it within the space of about a month. But it was a lot of planning, a lot of campaign planning. Because, like, if you think about it, right, rewards-based crowdfunding, you're buying the product online. So what can you equate that to? Actually, it's a form of e-commerce. So, which is quite lucky, having come from e-commerce background, League of Beers and Yappy Chef, was obviously exposed to that industry. So I took the viewpoint of, let's look at this as let's sell a product to a consumer online. Let's think about this in terms of e-commerce. So we realized that we needed to get a lot of eyeballs onto our campaign. So that's a lot of marketing. And we needed to have to think in terms of the consumer, like what would they want? So when the campaign went live, which you find is quite common with most successful campaigns, they'll go live with a big bang. So in our first couple of days, we had a lot of initial backers, and there was a lot of initial interest. But we found we had to keep working and reinventing throughout the campaign, finding different ways to reach consumers, speaking to influencers, bloggers, getting to PR, and we almost like on a daily and weekly basis, we tweaked the product offerings and we tweaked the way we were reaching consumers. So it was definitely not build it and they will come. So I think a lot of people think, let's make a crowdfunding campaign live and let's put it on a viable platform like Thunderfund and people will back us. That just won't happen. That you can do that and you will get zero funders. So it was a lot of kind of relentless activation and marketing to try and keep the interest in our campaign live the whole time. So there was, if you look at it, if you kind of follow it, if you had like a graph of backers and sales, there was this initial spike and then there was a dip and then there was a kind of as we refined our offerings and our marketing, we got like further little spikes throughout the campaign, but we had a huge spike right at the end. where it just kind of almost turned on its head. We released a final product that turned out to be the most impactful product, a product being a reward or something that a customer can kind of buy on a rewards-based crowdfunding campaign. And that was the final PR shift. And what also happened is on social media, we picked up a lot of momentum and more people got interested and started tweeting about it, and more and more kind of naturally influential people as opposed to paid for influencers started getting behind the campaign, and that also made a big impact.
Yeah.
So it was hard work all the way through.
Okay, so lastly, because we are running out of time, why did you guys choose to use Thunderbird as the platform for your crowdfunding, and what sort of advice would you give to someone who wants to launch a crowdfunding campaign? Because I find that there are a lot of misconceptions around what it actually is and how you actually make it effective. Because it sounds like you guys, from what you're saying, you guys had a lot of planning, but I don't think a lot of people actually plan. They just put up a campaign and hope for the best. So why Thunderbird? And what advice for people that want to use crowdfunding as a source of funds?
So you realize that you've created a whole new platform there by taking Sugarbird and Thunderfund and just mold them into one. create Thunderbird. But I'm going to phone the Thunderfund people and tell them about this new business we need to create to be the Thunderbird. So Thunderfund is the one that we work with, and Sugarbird obviously was the one that we launched. But I really like your combination there. the reason we chose Thunderfund, so we wanted to do rewards-based, which is like Kickstarter and Indiegogo. So Thunderfund is almost like a South African version of Kickstarter and Indiegogo.
Yeah.
And as I say, it was a rewards-based because we were the physical product. We weren't backing a cause, and we weren't giving away equity. And the reason for choosing Thunderfund is that in the research that I did, they're seen as South Africa's top rewards-based crowdfunding platform in South Africa. So it made sense to go with them. There's the option of going with, you could launch an Indiegogo or an international site, but it seemed like if we were focusing on South Africa, it made sense to go with what we understood to be the biggest and best in South Africa. You can use international platforms, and there are lots of other platforms in South Africa. I would do as much research as possible to see which one suits your product and need and what you're trying to do, but I obviously highly recommend the Thunderfund guys. Pre the campaign, seen them, I believed I saw them as being the most impactful, and obviously I enjoyed working with them, which is why I've done work with them after the time. So I was very impressed with Thunderfund as a company, as a brand, and what they do. But there are obviously other options out there. Just broad advice. I think what was useful for us was the kind of mindset that we took, and this won't work for everybody, but this is just what worked for us, is that we viewed it in terms of selling a product online, and to get that right, we needed to get as many eyeballs as possible, as many people seen it as possible, and we needed to target the right kind of people who would be interested. And then we pushed ourselves the whole time to think about what are the products that people would want to buy. And we even invented a new type of product, which is where people almost pre-purchased batches as a form of offering us debt, because people wanted to share in the upside. Our focus was on giving people great value in terms of the products. So even when people were buying bottles of gin, it came with tonic and things like that. So we're just trying to deliver value the whole time. So that's that focus of getting eyeballs, the right eyeballs, but also giving them great value, I think, was what worked really well for us. I mean, then on top of that, we did a lot of PR, a lot of networking. We held events. We sold and networked with everyone we could possibly work with who could help us in some kind of way. It really is a crowd thing, so I'll take credit for the idea and for driving it, but I won't take credit for the success, because so many people came together in terms of making it work. Like, we were given a space to host an event on top of the Media 24 building. We had people who actually started funding our business, who put us in contact with their networks. We had our team, like Brendan and Zeka, driving things. Nick from Thunderfund was driving things. The Thunderfund team got involved, like friends of friends of friends told people about it and backed it. It definitely became like a community exercise. And I think probably a crucial thing behind that was that there was quite a big purpose behind Sugarbird, that we focus on entrepreneurs in South Africa and how to use what we do to empower entrepreneurs. That's a big key focus to what we do. So I think it was easier to get people behind that, because a lot of people will agree with our point that entrepreneurs can help to make South Africa a better place.
So that was us on the line. We were talking to Rob Haynes, who is from the League of Beers and Steel Cut Spirits, just telling us about their journey with Sugarbird Gin, which they crowdfunded over R1 million more than a year ago. It's an interesting story, but a big takeaway is the fact that takeaway for me is that you need to have a team in place to actually help you drive the campaign forward. You can't just put a crowdfunding campaign online and hope that people are going to be receptive to what you're doing. And then the second thing is that you need to provide value. As you heard, they used a rewards-based crowdfunding campaign to actually get people interested. And you don't just do something for nothing, you know. People want some type of value. So if you have a value proposition, it can definitely help your campaign. On the other side of this, we come to the end of the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz.
So that's it in terms of The Business Buzz for today. Thank you so much to everyone who was on our show. Thank you so much to Rob Haynes, who is from Songbird, and also to Catherine Duploy from Backup Buddy, just giving us a roundup of what the crowdfunding terrain is looking like in South Africa, and also how to effectively fund your business in South Africa using some of these platforms. Some big takeaways is that at the moment, I know that I've been making a joke about, you know, the holidays and the weddings and the funerals, but you can literally crowdfund anything in 2018. So don't be shy to actually go out and just explore, you know, some of these different avenues. As you heard, Rob was talking about how mainstream funding, such as your loans, etc., is very hard to get, especially if you're a very sort of fledgling business that hasn't had any type of trading as yet. So this is definitely a good way for you to be funding your business in 2018, and you actually have less in terms of just, you know, the pressures of paying back interests, paying back loans and all of that. So it's a good way to get into whatever business you are in. And it actually then helps you become more thoughtful. And as you heard with our Buffalo Index with Lengwe earlier on, you need to provide a value proposition of some sort to the people that are actually funding your businesses. You can't just be asking people for money and just expect that they'll give you money for nothing. You actually need to use a rewards-based system. I think it's definitely the best system. As you heard, Rob was talking about how they planned for more than a month before they even launched their campaign, and it was slick, and they were able to get to their R1 million in 45 days. So it can be done. So you can tell us what you think. What are you crowdfunding, or what would you crowdfund? Thank you so much. Big shout out to at @katujesu_KTJ on Twitter, who says that they would want to fund a second-hand truck for their business. And thank you to @popoutj, who said definitely school or making a film. That's what they would want to crowdfund. Otherwise, for everyone else, tell us what you think. On Twitter, we're @VowFM. Our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. On Facebook, we're @VowFM. That's Voice of Vids. And you can also find our Facebook page. That's Vits Radio Academy. 0840784912, that's our WhatsApp line. And you can also stream the station live on vowfm.co.za. Remember that podcasts of The Business Buzz Show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to our amazing team, our executive producer Elna Schutz, our production, which is done by Atlengiwe Zondo, and our technical producer Kutlwano Serame. Don't miss The Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more into the world of business, money and commerce. For myself, Mudio Mob Justice, it's good evening and take care.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz. Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on Vow FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.